Jean-Pierre Lumumba here at the Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. Today we wrap our minds around a subject that is delicate. Delicate in the sense that it provokes and evokes emotions. Terrorism. In the Horn of Africa, we have organizations such as Al-Shabaab. The Al-Shabaab group has been characterized as a terrorist organization because their agenda is to capture power and to introduce a theocracy, which is founded on Islam as understood and articulated by themselves. Internationally, they have therefore been characterized as a terrorist group. And their activities have ensured that the Somali state as we know it has been under siege. That can be characterized as a terrorist group as defined by the classical definition of international organization. We also know that in Western Africa, particularly in Nigeria, Boko Haram. When Boko Haram was founded in the early days, the whole idea was that the Islamists in that part of the world were condemning Western education. And Boko then means Western education was illegitimate, hence the word haram. Over the years, the character and the operations of Boko Haram have changed over time. And what has happened with these organizations is that they have now become a part of international terror organization. And these terror organizations are organizations such as Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And they have created an international network and they have engaged in activities which have been inimical to good order in the countries which it operates. We will remember very vividly when Boko Haram took girls known as the Chibok girls, some of whom have disappeared and have never been located. The reason why they descended into that kind of infamous activities, nobody can tell. And in the eyes of many, it does not quite fit into any ideology, even if you say that they are articulating their own version of Islam. So one cannot understand why they continue to operate in that manner. And we now know that organizations such as Boko Haram are also engaged in activities which threaten harmony, and they are also engaged in kidnapping individuals and indiscriminate attack of communities in different parts of northern Nigeria, with the consequence that northern Nigeria states such as Borno, states such as Zamfara, Katsina, and others have borne the brunt of Boko Haram. We are also aware that ISIS has been operating in the northern part in countries such as Libya and in countries such as Sudan. These are organizations which are controlled from outside and they recruit in the Sahelian region, and they have been recruited for purposes of undermining governments in that part of the world. So that terrorism has acquired different characteristics. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, where we know that there are organizations, over 120 armed groups, there is evidence to suggest that some of these terrorist organizations are also engaged in illicit mining. And they are engaged in illicit mining for the purpose of financing their activities, because it is through such activities that they are then able to buy arms and to continue their terror activities. What then does this portend for the continent of Africa and indeed peace and stability and peace and security? Number one, we must remember that terrorist organizations in many cases do not have discernible chain of command. And because they do not have discernible chain of command and they are non-state actors, it means that they engage in activities which cannot be addressed through conventional means. And they impact the society, as I've already indicated, in different areas. Let us take the impact of the activities of Al-Shabaab, for example, in Somalia. We know that Al-Shabaab have been involved in piracy along the long Somali coast, and they have interfered with maritime activities in areas such as the area around Yemen, around Eritrea, in areas such as Somaliland, and at one time even towards Kenya in the area of Lamu. We also know that they have been active in northern Mozambique and have attacked installations which are used for mining in the gas sector. In the land, they have also disrupted education. In Somaliland, as recently as the month of February, the year 2025, we know that the Somali administration in Mogadishu had to engage in military activity, of course, with the assistance of the United States, and attacked their camps in Puntland in Somalia. So they disrupt agriculture, they disrupt education, they disrupt maritime activities, and they disrupt general harmony in the society, sometimes committing crimes such as rape. In the areas in the western part of Africa, we also have Boko Haram. And we know that many societies in northern Nigeria and even eastern Nigeria have been affected very negatively because people who engage in agriculture are not allowed to participate in agriculture in those areas. We also are aware that in Uganda for a long time, we had the Lord's Resistance Army, which was led by Joseph Kony. And we know that when they were driven out, they are now active in Central African Republic, and they have become mercenaries who are hired by different organizations and or individuals, disrupting and engaging in illegal mining to the detriment of the countries in that area. We are also aware that they have disrupted fishing activities in the Chadian Basin. And this in itself is something that has undermined peace and security in that area. In summary, therefore, it can be argued that over the years, terrorist organizations have acquired a certain level of sophistication. And that sophistication has come about because they are part of a network of terrorist organizations to be found not only in the Middle East, but also to be found in far-flung places such as the Taliban in Afghanistan, and terrorist organizations to be found in places such as Lebanon and Syria, and even in different parts of the world, who engage in activities including human trafficking, and they also participate in midwifing illegal migration across the Sahara Desert through the Mediterranean Sea. And we have seen this happening. We have also seen this in East Africa, where individuals are smuggled through certain countries, including Kenya, down to Southern Africa. So that terrorism has also become a commercial enterprise. And that is one of the angles that we must never forget, that while terrorist organizations may have had certain legitimate reasons for their formations, once the vision bearers die, or once the vision bearers are replaced by loose elements, then the focus changes and the commercialization of violence becomes the main agenda, and they become a threat to peace and security. But yet I believe that it is the duty of African governments, through collaboration, that can rein in these terrorist organizations. And I believe that when the African Union, for example, says that we have the decade of the silencing of the guns, which ends in the year 2030, one of the things will be to ensure that these terrorist organizations are denied the oxygen that they are using to breathe. And if I give the fish analogy, they are denied the water in which they swim. And if that happens, then we will be able to deal with them for what they are, criminal elements who ought to be eliminated for peace to reign for the good of the continent of Africa. But it is also important that governments identify legitimate grievances of certain elements or certain segments of the society so that they do not get into violence as the only means. It is therefore incumbent upon governments to hear every humble cry of every segment of the society so that they do not see violence and by extension terrorism as the only way of actualizing their declared and defined needs. Even as we talk about terrorism as if it were uniquely an African affair, we must always remember what we were warned about. And the person who warned us about this was Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah, when in his famous book, Neocolonialism, The Last Stage of Imperialism, he said that this is the most dangerous state, and the most dangerous state because the colonizing powers will use their surreptitious influence to finance terrorist organizations. In the Sahel, it has actually been alleged that some terrorist groups are financed by France for purposes of destabilizing the regimes, particularly the new administrations in Burkina Faso, in Niger, and in Mali. So the hand of the former colonizers is something that we must never ever forget, because the colonizer's interest is to ensure that certain parts remain unstable to enable them to exploit their resources. Remember, the neocolonial project is alive and well, and as has been said by African commentators, the neocolonizer does not change. They may shift their shape, but the agenda is one, and when they have mercenaries, they can use them. In the recent past in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we saw some mercenaries. Who hired them? For what purpose? To what end? Are they the neo-colonizers? It is not lost on me that the former colonial powers have not condemned these mercenaries, and they are being used to good effect. And I have no doubt in my mind that when we talk about terrorism, we must never ever for 1 minute imagine that the hangover of colonialism is still alive and well, and it carries with it the desire to control African states by any means necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, our discussion continues apace as we look at different nooks and crannies in order to understand the mother continent. But let us for the moment say our bye-byes. We'll come back again to continue this conversation.